Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person, and those of you who are joining us online. We have a few announcements this week, but I want to start off by saying that we have a new member of the Holly Grove family. Trevor Clark Nelson was born on Monday, weighing in at 8 pounds, 9 ounces, 22 inches long. Mom and baby are doing very well, so we look forward to the day that we can meet them. We are so grateful to have Pastor Jennifer with us, and this is her first time. She has decided she wants to be assisting minister from time to time, and I know some of you have met her. She has been coming for maybe over a year and has been trying to figure out what does it mean to be a member in a church instead of the pastor of a church. And so we've offered her space and grace to figure that out, and I think she's done it beautifully. But now that she is a member, she wants to start serving, and so this morning she'll be serving as assisting minister. So thank you for your service, Jennifer. Debbie Parsons is having her knee replaced on Tuesday. We didn't know in time to get it on the prayer list, but please add her to your prayer list. Oh, Carol Conrad is, she did not want to be on the prayer list, but Carol Conrad is having her knee replaced tomorrow. So even though she's not on the prayer list, we're gonna pray for her. Those of you that received the holly leaf this week will have noticed that the women's banquet is going to be on Monday, May 20th. Along with that, there was an RSVP card, and as I say all of this, I'm realizing that the RSVPs are in my car. And so we will have those for you, but you can also print it off online. But keep in mind that that is coming up. We have a few birthdays this week. Debbie Parsons, James and Marie Palmer are celebrating their wedding anniversary, as are Donnie and Debbie Parsons. And then Mike Wilson, Carol Conrad, and Amy Horn are celebrating their baptisms. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And then finally, we have a few prayer shawls to bless this morning. I got an email this week from the chaplain at hospice saying that they had an urgent need for prayer shawls and blankets. So all three of these are going to be going to hospice this week. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for the gift of prayer, that you hear us every time we come to you. We are also grateful for the gift of hospice in our community and around the world. We ask that you would bless these prayer shawls, that those who feel the weight of these upon them would feel surrounded by our love and prayers for them here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude.
Thank you.
Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the wellspring of grace, our Easter and our joy. Amen. Look, here is water. Immersed in the promises of baptism, let us give thanks for what God has done for us. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your voice thundered over the deep, and water became the essence of life. Adam and Eve beheld Eden's verdant rivers. Miriam led the dancing as your people passed through the sea into freedom's land. In a desert pool, the Ethiopian official entered your boundless baptismal life. At the river, your beloved son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of Jesus' death and resurrection, you opened the floodgates of your reconciling love, freeing us to live as Easter people. We rejoice with glad hearts, giving all honor and praise to you. Through the risen Christ, our source of living water, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Look, here is water.
Here is our water of life.
Alleluia. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, you give us your Son as the vine apart from whom we cannot live. Nourish our life in his resurrection, that we may bear the fruit of love and know the fullness of your joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for the children's message. Good morning, Brantley. Good morning, Cameron. Good morning, Kate. How are y'all doing today? She's doing good? That's good. Well, in a little bit, when you go to Children's Church, we're going to hear about a story in which someone who wasn't always welcomed at church is welcomed into the church. And I wanted to remind you all that this is God's church, and this is God's table, and Jesus invites all of us to come to his table and eat. And I love it every Sunday when you come forward and you get the bread and the grape juice. And I wanted to remind you that after the service is over, you're welcome to come and get that extra bread if you'd like. Because since that bread has been blessed or consecrated, it means that we either have to eat it or return it to the earth, like put it on the ground. And so just a reminder, you can always come and get the leftover bread. But I want you to know that you are always, always welcomed at church, and you're always welcomed at God's table because God loves you so much and you are so special to God. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for our church. Thank you that you love us. And welcome us, and that we belong at your table. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You may go to Children's Church.
Good morning. I want to say before I read the first reading that it's very appropriate for me to read this because you welcomed a stranger so well when she came into your midst, and I thank you for that. And that's what this reading is all about. So let's hear the first reading from the book of Acts. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? And then Philip began to speak. And starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from 1 John, the fourth chapter. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate a brother or sister are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This week, I've had a song stuck in my head, you know, the ones that replay over and over and over. Doesn't matter if I've been sitting at my desk working or playing outside with George or washing the dishes. The words of this song have continued to come to me over and over, and I find myself singing them. It's a song that I recently discovered called Bigger Table by an artist named Matt Marr. These are some of the lyrics. Show me who is my neighbor, because love doesn't meet a stranger. Love calls them friend and welcomes them in, into a house for the hungry, a well for the thirsty, where all saints come together, shoulder to shoulder. In all things, God is able. Love has a bigger table. Love has a bigger table. There are many stories all throughout Scripture that show us that love, capital L love, right? God is love, that love has a bigger table. And today's story from Acts 8 is one of my favorite examples of that love. Someone who was an outsider in every way is drawn into God's love and grace, and through baptism is welcomed into the family of God, where at last they finally find belonging. This story in Acts is filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes Philip off to a place located somewhere off the beaten path, maybe close to the middle of nowhere. And it's there that Philip meets the person we know as the Ethiopian eunuch. On this wilderness road, Philip encounters someone who is earnestly trying to understand Scripture's prophecies about God's salvation. We Christians believe that this passage was fulfilled by Jesus. We often read it at Christmas time. But the Ethiopian eunuch didn't know that it was fulfilled by Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit sent Philip to meet him so that Philip could share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, that good news was so transformative and so life-changing for the Ethiopian eunuch that they wanted to be baptized right then and right there. The life, death, and resurrection of Christ gives this story a much different ending than it would have without it. When the Ethiopian eunuch asks, "What is to prevent me from being baptized?" The truth is, without the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, everything. This person was an outsider in every way possible. They were a foreigner. Not only were they not from Israel, they were from Ethiopia, which was on the fringes of the known world at that time. It was the ends of the earth. This person was dark-skinned, even darker than all of the Middle Eastern people that we encounter in Scripture. And this passage lets us know, not once, not twice, but five times, that this person was a eunuch. Eunuchs did not fit the conventional forms of gender at that time because they were castrated. And because of that, they were not seen as male or female. They were genderless. In fact, there were laws in Leviticus and Deuteronomy that gave lower status to eunuchs. And as such, they were not allowed to worship in the temple. They were not even allowed in the outer courts of the temple. So what is to prevent this person from being baptized? Well, according to humans, everything. Their nationality, their ethnicity, their skin color, their genderlessness, their sexual condition. But the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. Everything. You see, in Jesus Christ, the prophecies that the eunuch was reading about in Isaiah are fulfilled. Isaiah is a book of hope and promise for captives, for the poor, for the sick, for the outcast, and for eunuchs. Isaiah prophesied that eunuchs, those who were sexually ambiguous, would be gathered into God's house, and that they would be given a name greater, greater than sons and daughters. And so as Philip shares all of this with that Ethiopian eunuch in his chariot, everything in the light of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, this person who had been socially ostracized, this person who was an outcast, this person who had been excluded not only from the assembly of God, but from the worship of God, this person who had over and over again been rejected because of their nationality, their ethnicity, their skin color, their genderlessness, their sexual condition, this person was embraced by God. This person who had been judged and shunned by society and by people because they were different, because they didn't fit the societal norms, it is this person that God called to be part of the community of God in which all are equal in the sight of God. Because in Christ Jesus, there is neither male nor female, Jew or Gentile, slave or free. Every single human condition, category, distinction, boundary that humans create that makes us better than others does not exist in God's love. It doesn't. What was to prevent this Ethiopian eunuch from being baptized? Well, according to God's love revealed in Jesus Christ, according to the love revealed in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, nothing, no thing was to prevent this person from being baptized. You see, God doesn't see all the things that humans see when we look at a person. What God sees in every single human that has ever existed and that will ever exist God sees that they bear the image of God, and God sees the child of God in them. Brothers and sisters, this passage holds up a mirror for us as individuals, as the body of Christ here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church, and for the church universal. Who is it that we exclude? Who's missing from our assembly? Who are the ones that we don't think are worthy to be loved by God or by us? Who are the ones that we prevent from experiencing God's love because of our words, because of our opinions, because of our actions or inactions that don't reflect God's love for all people? Who are the ones that we reject because they don't look like us, or worship like us, or think like us, or live like us, or love like us? What are the barriers that we have placed at our doors so that some don't feel welcomed here? What are the boundaries that we have put around this font so that some might feel they are prevented from becoming baptized? What conditions have we put on this table so that some don't feel welcome here? These are honest and hard but faithful questions. And I believe that in the light of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we need to ask ourselves these questions. May the Holy Spirit stretch us so that we will love all people more like Jesus does. May the Holy Spirit challenge us and expand our ideas of who belongs. May the Holy Spirit nudge us to not only include, but to love those whom we don't think belong, or those whom we don't think deserve God's love, because they are different and outside the norm. Brothers and sisters, in the waters of baptism, God welcomes all into God's family. Into God's family that isn't based on human ideas of worthiness or acceptableness. A family where all belong. A family where all are equal. No matter what they look like. No matter where they are from. No matter their age. No matter their gender. No matter their sexuality. No matter their ability. All belong in God's love. All belong at God's table. All belong in God's family, no matter what. And there's that song running through my head again. Show me who is my neighbor, because love doesn't meet a stranger. Love calls them friend and welcomes them in. Into a house for the hungry, a well for the thirsty, where all saints come together, shoulder to shoulder. In all things God is able. Love has a bigger table. Thanks be to God for a love like that. Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We join now in prayer. Rejoicing that Jesus is risen and love has triumphed over death, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need of good news. We pray for the church around the world, for all ministers, and for the mission of the gospel. Keep all the newly baptized and confirmed in your care. Cleanse our hearts with your word, and help us to abide in you always. God of grace, hear our prayer. For the well-being of the earth and of all created things, for rivers and lakes, streams and estuaries, melting glaciers and polluted waters, renew the face of the earth and shower us with your goodness. God of grace, hear our prayer. For the nations and all those in authority, for local, state, and national leaders, for elected representatives at every level, and for international organizations, that justice and peace may reign. God of grace, hear our prayer. For those in need, for any experiencing homelessness or unemployment, for those fleeing from oppression or seeking asylum, and for all who are ill or suffering, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Scott, Jim, Mike, Myra, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and for those we now name aloud or on our lips or silently in our hearts. God of grace, hear our prayer. For this congregation, for the caring ministries of this faith community, for all who visit and minister to one another, for all who take communion to homes or care centers, and for all who seek to share your love with the world. God of grace, hear our prayer. With thanksgiving for the saints who rest from their labors, help us like them to bear much fruit and to become your disciples. And at the last, bring us to that heavenly banquet where all will feast together at your table. God of grace, hear our prayer.
Into your...
You go ahead. You go. That was the pastor in me. Into your hands, most merciful God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abiding love through Jesus Christ, our resurrected and living Lord. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to get up and move around and share the peace of Christ with one another.
Peace.
peace of Christ be with you. I love it. I will remember next time to highlight it for you. Peace be with you, Brantley. Peace be with you, Judy.
Let us pray together. Generous God, in this meal you offer your very self. We give thanks for the gifts of service. In the breaking of this bread, reveal to us the risen one. In the pouring of this wine, pour us out in service to the world. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Lift
up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord.
Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with the sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The risen Christ is made known to us in the breaking of the bread. Come and eat at God's table. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and this meal of grace, you have nourished our life together. Strengthen us to show your love and to serve the world in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Mission statement.
We say the mission statement with us? Okay.
First,
as united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Thank you. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Go in peace. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God.